What a great day to be here, to worship God, to lay all of our burdens and our worries and our struggles, all of our confusions, everything that would separate us from God. What a day to lay them at the foot of the cross. Amen. You know, as it kind of drizzles outside, maybe there's more storms coming in. You know, who knows these days? If you listen to the radio or the news, you know, we were going on Highland Trek this last week, and 2 days before we left, it was supposed to be nice and sunny, and the day we were supposed to leave, it was raining and terrible, and you never know. It's going to change, and we learn from that we're not in control of things the way that we think we're in control. But regardless of what the weather is outside, we can choose to be together. We can choose to be on the inside and choose to be with one another and choose to focus on God and to focus on the fact that He is willing to go through all that we have seen depicted so far, all that we have sang about this morning, and He is truly holy and holy and holy. And what a blessing it is to be a part of His family. And this morning we're going to talk about a question that I don't know if anyone else has asked this question. Let me just say, has anyone asked this question before? What is God's will for my life? I mean, there's so many times in our life, and I have emails and I have people call and they just say, Shane, you know, I'm going through this or I'm making this decision or I want to know the answer. You know, I just want to know what God's will is for my life. And you know what I tell them, and many of you have heard this answer before, and because you're the ones emailing or you're the ones calling or sitting in my office or out on the golf course or in a fishing boat saying, I just want to know what God's will is. And I always say the same thing. Well, good luck with that. I hope that works out well for you. And though, as you know, I go on and we talk a lot about it, but you know, this is a question that we all have. We all want to know that we are in the will of God. We all want to know that we have truly laid our life before God and that we're doing exactly what God wants us to do. And to be honest with you, this is a very difficult question to answer. And as we follow the teachings of Jesus, and as I, as a preacher, follow the pattern of the King of Kings and the preacher of preachers, what I'm going to do is, as I normally do whenever I start something new and when we are starting a new sermon series or starting a new series on teaching or something, is that I'm going to start with what we don't need to do. I'm going to start this morning with what Jesus would do, and I'm going to try to clear up some of the confusion on what exactly God's will is for my life, because there's so much out there that's in conflict with the will of God. There's so much out there that's in conflict with us trying to figure out or find the will of God. It, you know, that's like so many different beliefs and so many different approaches. You know, a lot of, you know, in my travels and in talking to people, I come across people from different belief systems, different faiths, and as I talk to them and they ask me questions about what we believe and how we practice, our faith and understanding, you know, one of the most confusing topics that comes up as far as practicing and worship is, you know, quite honestly, speaking in tongues. I mean, we read about it in Scripture. And this is just going to be an example of how you can understand and how you can think about things. Well, there's some fellowships that practice this, and they really don't know what they're saying all the time or much of the time. And people that come in, you know, are kind of confused on what's going on. And so people ask me, well, what about these people that speak in tongues? What are they? And I said, well, I don't know. Let me tell you how I understand this. If I see somebody walking down the street, if I see a man walking down the street, I might not know who he is. But I know who he's not. See, I know as I see him walking down the road out there, I know that's not my brother Eric because he lives in Evansville, and if he was in town, he would have let me know. And I know that it's not Dick Fuel because he's sitting right here on the front row. See, if I see a man walking down the street and I don't know who he is, I start to rule out, well, I know who he's not. And so I tell people when they're talking about this, you know, speaking in this or practice, I say, well, I don't know what they're doing, but I know what they're not doing. Because, you see, I can read the Word of God and I can understand what He says about certain things. And I might not understand what's going on there, but I know what's not going on there. See, a lot about the will of God is that I might not know what it is all the time, but church, I know what it's not most of the time. You see, we need to be people who, instead of trying to figure out exactly what this is, we can start with knowing what it ain't. And I apologize. Oh, Tommy's not in here, but, you know, to those that are English professors. But, you know, that's, we might not know what it is, but let's start with trying to understand what it ain't. Clearing up some confusions. And in Ephesians chapter 5, 15 through 17, the Bible says, "Be very careful then how you live, not as unwise, but as wise, making the most of every opportunity because the days are evil. Therefore, do not be foolish, but understand what the will of God is." Understand what the Lord's will is. First of all, Paul tells the church at Ephesus, this is important. Don't be foolish. He says, make the most of every opportunity. You know, be people who are alert. Be people who are on the ball. Be people who are living for God. And don't be foolish, but understand what God's will is. So we know it's important. We know that we can know it because he says we need to understand it. So in clearing up any confusion this morning, the first thing I want you to know is that we can know. Now, this isn't on your outline and you don't fill anything in, but understand we can know the will of God for our life. I'm just going to let that sink in for just a second. We can know the will of God. But he says, don't be foolish. And politically incorrect, if we were writing that today, you know how we would write that? Don't be stupid. Now, for some of us, our kids will say, we don't say that word. But that's that word right there. That's as literally as you can translate. Don't be stupid. Understand what the Lord's will is. So what is God's will? What is God's will for your life? Here, first things first, God's will is not a feeling. You know, I had this written down as what the will of God ain't, but I thought that would probably bring too much consternation or whatever. But first things first, will of God is not a feeling. You see, the problem with feelings is that they're so unreliable. In Jeremiah chapter 19, or actually chapter 17, I noticed on my notes that that's wrong. It's actually 17 and 9, so scratch that out. In Jeremiah chapter 17 and 9, it says that the heart is wicked above all things. Some translations say that the heart is deceitfully wicked. What that's saying is that the way that we feel about most things in this world is unreliable. Have you ever experienced that? You ever really liked somebody and found out that they really weren't who you thought they were? Have you really not liked somebody and then you found out that they had a heart the size of all outdoors and they'd do anything for anybody and you were wrong in your assessment of that person? Have you ever had a hunch or had a feeling, had a desire or a dislike and come to find out that you were wrong all along? You ever wanted so badly to go in a certain direction or be with a certain person or in a certain circumstance and just to discover that it's really not what it was all cracked up to be? Have you ever had a temptation? Have you ever had a desire that led you down a path that was to your destruction? Has that ever happened to anyone? See, the heart, our feelings, what we're led to believe by the way that we feel is deceitfully above all things wicked and broken. The Bible says, who can understand it? As we desire the will of God for our life, church, the last thing that we need to rely on is the way that we feel. Because feelings change. Feelings are up and down. Emotions are so much like a roller coaster. Will of God is not a formula. It's not feelings. It's not a formula. See, there's problems with formulas. The first problem that you encounter when you're trying to discover the formula, the A's and the B's and the C's, the 2 + 2 equals God's will. The problem that comes up so often is that it just doesn't work. You see, in our lives with dealing with other people and the brokenness of this world is that there are so many variables that we cannot control. There's so many variables that we don't understand that are just not spelled out for us. formulas often contradict each other. You see, what one person believes, what one person goes about and finds in Scripture to understand it in a certain way, and what one book tells you, if you want to know the will of God, then you do this and you do this. What one book tells you, another book will contradict. What one person understands, another person will disbelieve. See, formulas let us down because they contradict. And the last problem about formulas is that you've got to be perfect or you get bad results. You know, I'm helping Hayden a lot with algebra. He's in this algebra class that is leading to higher math in high school. And, you know, so we sit down a lot and try to do homework together. And that's entertaining for everyone else in the house. But he just got that. One of the things that we have discovered is that we can work. I mean, they get problems where it's like, you know, there's A times 2 squared plus that all this. I mean, just long problems that equal signs and unknowns on both sides. And boy, we'll go through books and look up on the internet and have just pages of work. And then we'll come to the answer. And then, you know what we do? We look in the back of the book. And we find out that we're wrong. And then there's a whole lot more, you know, hollering and yelling. It's your fault. No, it's your fault. And we'll go and we'll backtrack through our work. And guess what we'll find out? We'll discover that we had a negative sign where it should have been a positive. Or we'll have we multiplied where we should have divided. And all, everything is right but one little thing. And guess what you have at the end of that formula? It's wrong. And if he turns it in, if he turns it in wrong, guess what the teacher's going to say? And he's got all this work and all this, you know, this labor and pencils and holes and eraser marks and all this stuff. And if the answer's wrong, it's wrong. See, math is not kind of right. You know, when Ward's doing accounting, nobody is interested in what the answer is sort of in accounting, are they? No. You need to know down to the penny. I was in an accounting class in college, and we had this one final, and this girl that was sitting next to me, I noticed, was just going over and over and over, and she could not account. I mean, everything came down, and it was like one penny off, and she literally taped a penny to her test and turned it in. She couldn't figure out where she'd gone wrong. But it's down to the penny. But see, with formulas, and if we're trying to figure out, and if I do this, and then this happens, and now I got to do this, and then I got to wait for this to happen, and then do, if it's all about a formula, if I make one wrong decision along the way, God can't use me. And I hear that so often in my ministry. And what's the main weapon that Satan will use against us is lies. It's a big lie. You see, Satan wants us to think about figuring out the will of God as this celestial formula that we have to understand and figure and get everything right. And if we don't, it doesn't work. Ah, he's back. Anyone else see that besides me? All right, I'm not crazy. All right, good. What is the will of God? You see, it's not a feeling. It's not a formula. It's a fellowship. See, the will of God, finding the will of God, understanding God's will for my life is understanding first and foremost. In 1 Corinthians 1 and 9, it is God who invited us. God chose us. God determined that it would be pleasing to Him if we were in a fellowship with Him through our Lord Jesus Christ, through our Savior. See, understanding the will of God starts first with understanding that it's a fellowship with God. That we are in this relationship with Him. You see, what it is not, is it's not a bunch of rules to figure out. It's a relationship to enjoy. The will of God is not rules, but a relationship. It's not a map, but a marriage. Most often in Scripture, our relationship, the Christian life, is talked about as a marriage more than anything else. It isn't a roadmap to discover or follow, but it's a marriage to be enjoyed. We're called the bride of Christ. We're awaiting the groom, the bridegroom, which is Christ, to come and to take us and to bring us into glory. Now, marriage, relationships, and fellowships, well, they're all about attitude. You see, marriage is not about a list of rules. Yeah, we take these vows, but I mean, those are really kind of like guidelines. Because let me tell you, the rules change as you go. Now, those vows, they're important and they stay. But guys, other duties as assigned, right? I mean, we get more and it grows and we figure out it's more. You know, when we say for better or for worse, I don't think we fully understood what that meant. And that gets a lot bigger. You see, it isn't this list of rules. You couldn't list the rules in a marriage. I think the Bible says something about if Jesus, you know, if everything that Jesus said or did was written down, the world cannot contain the volumes. Gentlemen, back me up. If we had to write down all the rules in marriage, the world, the universe could not hold all of the volumes that it would take. See, the rules are the rules get bigger and more in depth. And so it's not about the rules. It's all about attitude in a relationship. And so one of the things that we have to understand are what kind of attitudes about the will of God block us from understanding what it is. You see, some people have this fatalistic idea about the will of God. They think that whatever will be, will be. Whatever happens, happens. If it's meant to be, it'll happen. If it's not meant to be, it won't happen. You see, there's some issues with that. First of all, it's unfair to God. If you have this fatalistic, whatever's going to happen is going to happen, God's going to do this, or whatever's not going to happen, oh, just I guess that wasn't meant to be. Every time I hear that, oh my goodness, it makes me just crazy. Oh, I guess that wasn't meant to be. You see, there's this little book in the Old Testament called Haggai. And I really encourage you to read it because it's all about, you know, when all of this will of God stuff starts happening and the Israelites and God's people are in bondage and they're in slavery and then, you know, this kingdom overthrows this kingdom and then this king comes into power. And after 70 years, just like God said, Cyrus comes along and lets his people go. And they go back to Jerusalem and it's their job to build the temple. That's what it's for. 70 years later, go back and start over again, build the temple. And guess what? There was opposition there. Some of the Samaritans, some other people, there was opposition to building the temple. Maybe the ground was a little hard. Maybe there was a lot of rain. Maybe there's an early frost. Maybe there's a lot of issues. And guess what they said? Well, it must not be God's will for us to build the temple now. Let's go start on our houses. And God comes back and He says, why do you live in paneled houses? Why, my home sits in ruin. Oh, I thought it wasn't true. Are you kidding me? You were in bondage for 70 years. I ushered in this whole kingdom to destroy this kingdom. I put this king in power and I made him let you go so that you could come back and rebuild my temple. And the going kind of got tough. Remember that answer we had? I couldn't write it down for each of us. And it got a little bit tough and it was a little hard. And you said, well, it must not be the will of God. Whatever happens, happens. I guess it wasn't meant to be. It's unfair. It's unfair to God to talk about His will as being something that is so, well, whatever. It's unhealthy for us to understand. It's unhealthy for us to think about God's will as whatever, as fatalistic. Whatever's going to happen is going to happen. We become puppets and not people. If it's meant to be, it's going to happen. Do you think sickness is meant to be? Are we going to sit here and say, well, I contracted this disease or this ailment or whatever, and I guess this is just God's will. God's will can come out of it, but sickness is never God's will. That's because we broke this place. You think divorce is God's will? You think that broken relationships, well, marriage just wasn't meant to be. Absolutely untrue. You see, God's will always involves my choice. It always involves my choice. In John 7 and 17, if anyone chooses to do the will of God, and read the rest of that verse, but this is the part I want you to understand. If we choose the will of God. You see, God's will is not this fatalistic thing that's just going to happen. And whatever takes place must be the will of God. Whatever doesn't take place must not be the will of God. We have choices in the middle of it to either accept His will or to walk away from it. When the going gets tough, sometimes the tough have to seek out the will of God anyway. Some people are fearful about God's will. Some people feel that, just sitting around waiting for the other shoe to drop, waiting for God's going to punish us for all. We know we're sinful. We know we step out of line. We know that we don't get the formula right all the time. And so we're fearful about, if I do this, if I really invest in God's will and if I mess it up, then I'm out of luck. But in Jeremiah 29:11, I know the plans I have for you. Plans to defeat you. Plans to injure you. Plans to destroy you. Isn't that what that scripture says? It says, no, I have plans for you. Plans to prosper you, not to harm you. Plans to give you hope. You see, God's will isn't something to be afraid of. Even if we understand the direction that He wants us to go is scary at times, His will is the safest place that we could ever be. You see, God's will is an expression of His love. The plans that He has, the will for our lives, the direction that He wants us to go is out of His love. Not out of His wrath. Not out of His disappointment. Some people just get frustrated about God's will. Because the going gets tough. Or maybe we really invest in prayer. Maybe we believe and we've studied and we understand that this is the direction that God wants me to go. This is the holy path that He has laid out for me. And when I go this direction, guess what? It gets tough and the foundation of His temple is hard to lay and it's hard to get all the corners right and all of the other issues that they ran into building His temple. And sometimes people don't act the way that we want them to. And sometimes they disappoint us. And sometimes they just hurt us, and going in God's will is very difficult, and we get frustrated, and we get mad, and we get disappointed in God. And that's an attitude that blocks the direction that we have to go. And in Romans 8:28, God says, look, when things are difficult, when it seems as though my will is a very dark corridor for you to walk down, and then when it seems as though when you take a step, you trip, or when you go in a direction, someone pushes you down, or when you try to build something in my name, it just doesn't last. When the going gets tough, remember this. We know that in all things, God works for good for those that love Him and are called according to His purpose. You know that word called that I didn't have up there? It's the same word we've already read. It's that God invited us to be a part of His purpose. He said, look, if we are pursuing His will, and if my attitude is always, God, wherever You lead, I will go. Wherever You direct, I will walk. If that's my attitude, and come what may, whether it's sickness, whether it's health, whether it's shipwreck, whether it's prison, whether it's this or whether it's that, no matter what you come, do you realize how many times Paul could have said, it must not be the will of God for me to go this direction. Whether people stone me, or whether storms come and wreck my ships, whether I make it to where I'm going, whether I'm derailed, whether I'm detained, whether I'm in prison, whether it works like a charm, or whether I work and labor in obscurity, I will trust You. Because I know that You work things together for my good. You see, God's will is a long-term process. That includes problems. And it includes pleasures. You see, God's will for our life is going to be problematic at times because we live in a broken world in and amongst broken people. And oh, guess what? We're broken too. So as we seek to do God's will. And in the next couple of weeks, we're going to talk about what that looks like. We're going to talk about, you know, okay, we know what it ain't. And we know kind of how to have attitudes that don't block it. So how do we know when we're going, well, just tune in next couple of weeks. But there's problems along the way, and there's pleasures along the way. You know, this is a topic that Wes and I have kicked around for hours on the trail at Highland Trek. And we came to decide that this year our trip was not cursed, it was blessed. That God was not saying, don't do this. He was just saying, go this direction. See, we came across rivers that literally were impassable for us. We had obstacles along the way that made going the direction that we had planned impossible. And by the first day, we got lost one time, and it was the funniest thing. We're all sitting in this clearing, and Wes said, I'm going to go find this trail, and we're to go. And about, you know, we're all out there, me and Hayden are throwing a baseball, and we're eating and just kind of hanging out, and it's like an hour. And I said, watch, you know, we watched him walk off that way. I said, watch him come out from over here with sombrero and a handful of pesos. And we're just sitting there, just, you know, whatever. And next thing you know, we hear this rustling. And here comes Wes up behind us. Okay. You know, we get lost. We get this. We get that. We start to think, well, maybe this is just not supposed. No. Oh, we're supposed to be there. We're supposed to be doing what we're doing, because as we sat around campfires two nights in a row and we heard some of the things that came out of our children's mouths about the relationship that we have with God and what that trip means to them and what it does for them when they get just beyond where they think they're going to die and they realize that God is there holding them up, we realize right here, right now is where we're supposed to be. And it wasn't cursed, it was blessed. And it wasn't obstacles, it was detours. See, it's going to get tough. There's problems and there's pleasures. And the right attitude in this marriage is one word. The right attitude to have is faith. And you see, and that's a word that is impacted with so much theology and so much doctrine and so much action and so much death on my part and so much life on his part. And it's all about faith. And in Hebrews 11 and 6, it says it's impossible to please God without it. So it's not a fear, it's not a feeling, it's not a formula, but it's trust. See, the will of God is all about dependence and believing when God says, I will do this, I will do this. Even if it's 400 years that we cry out, He will hear. And He will deliver His people. The will of God is about moving through life in a Godward direction. We're not going to get it all right. We're not going to cross all the T's and dot all the I's, have the pluses where the pluses go, the minuses where the minuses go. We're not going to make every decision along the way perfect and accurate. But God says, don't be foolish. Understand what my will is, my good, pleasing, and perfect will. And it's all about faith. It's about trust and dependence. This morning, for some of us, it's taken a step. It's taking the first Godward step of our lives and taking a step towards Him and saying, the first part of understanding Your will is being chosen by You. And God, I know that You are choosing me. I want to confess Your Son as my Savior and my Lord. And I want to be baptized into Your family forever. You see, that's the first faith step you can take towards God. And His will then becomes your will. If that's your need this morning, you can make that decision. For some of us, it's realizing that we have tried and we have depended on our feelings or our formulas or what we can come up with, what we can decide, and we have been just wayward and weak at best. And it's deciding, God, I'm going to, in faith, trust You in the problems, in the pleasures, and I'm going to follow You. Whatever your need is this morning, if you want to be in God's will, let us know as together we stand and as we sing.